And now, welcome to the Breakaway Academy Radio Show, broadcasting worldwide, plus on demand, 24/7. I'm your host, Paulette Bodeman, international author and empowerment coach. Through real coaching and intelligent conversation, I'm here to help you break away from the mental and emotional constructs that stop you from living like your life doesn't matter and start living like you mean it. So now, let's get started. Ciao amici, it's Paulette, and welcome to the Breakaway Academy Radio Show, episode number 7. I'm so happy you're here. You're going to love today's topic and lesson, how to own your number one power source and fire up your life. What would you say is your number one power source? That awesome, crazy feeling that propels you forward towards your goals, your dreams, and your legacy, of course. It's a highly influential force to many of your outcomes and has far-reaching consequences in both your personal and professional life. We all have it, but there's always something that can shake it and shake you to veer off course. It can be an elusive aspiration, one that when faked can trigger your inner GPS to send out alarm signals, and then suddenly you're no longer connected to the source of your force. You're not on the road to legacy. But you're that deer in the headlights, standing dazed, confused, and pretty much scared to death. Have you ever felt like that? Because suddenly you lost it? I know I have. I'm talking about confidence. Yes, that empowering feeling of faith in your abilities to conquer it all. The belief in the person that you are and your opinion of the most important relationship you'll ever have in your life. Guess, the one with yourself. Here's one definition. Confidence is a feeling of self-assurance grounded in the belief of your ability, perspective, and sufficiency. It's an inner wisdom that you can do whatever you want to do, feel however you want to feel, and be whoever you want to be in this world. This might not be your definition of confidence, and that's okay. Confidence has many variations, and they can be pretty vague at the best of times. That being said, here's some insight into confidence. Contrary to popular belief, confidence is not something that could be memorized like a set of rules. It's not a characteristic, believe it or not, or a skill. Confidence is a feeling of well-being, a belief in your own abilities and skills. Carol Craig from the Center for Confidence and Well-Being defines it using this formula. Confidence equals self-efficacy plus optimism. Isn't that cool? That is to say, confidence is made up of the degree to which you believe in your skills, known as self-efficacy, and your positive outlook on life, known as optimism. The more you believe in yourself and your abilities, the easier it becomes to build confidence for a specific task. And I'd like to just add, it's important to know that a belief is different than a thought. And we're going to get more into that when I teach you the breakaway model. You're not thinking you're secure in your abilities. You're actually believing that you are. You may have thousands of thoughts going through your mind, but none of them give birth to any power except those that are beliefs. This is knowledge that you understand to be true. People with confidence will always act a specific way. And they're expressing in the outer manifestation of what they're feeling inside. It's what I like to call your power source, because confidence is what powers the driving force that enables you to do whatever it is you choose to do in life, including living your greatest life, your legacy life. Oh, and by the way, this inside feeling of confidence is completely controlled by guess who? You. It's up to you to determine what level of competence is required to feel confident. Okay, now that we have the feeling aspect covered, here are a few key points to broaden your knowledge. Confidence is not the same as self-esteem. It's a fine line there, but self-esteem is more about the general feelings about yourself, such as self-respect or even a feeling of superiority to others, not over others, where confidence is an inner feeling and belief that you are capable of performing a task successfully. I have a good self-esteem, but no confidence that I can land plan or write code for a computer program. Believe it or not, confidence is actually a learned state of mind or mental reaction, or better put, a habit to an emotion connected with optimism, hope, and an expectation of being able to handle outcomes, be it positive or negative. To put it another way, confidence is all mental habit. Yep, back to the power of your mind. Once you develop the mental habits of a positive mindset, then the physical will follow. You'll acquire that awesome walk and that awesome talk. You'll look outrageously smart and chock full of capability. Because in that moment of embracing your confidence, you are. The catalyst to bring confidence to life is the realization that your actions influence your results. In other words, it's up to you, as I mentioned earlier. Why study for a test if you believe that action makes no difference? However, you can influence the outcome when you believe in your abilities. That's when the outcome creates a sense of control that initiates confidence. I cover this because without an accurate picture of what you're looking for, it's difficult to recognize where we are confident and what we need to do to build confidence. Know that everyone has some level of confidence. Otherwise, they wouldn't have moved forward through life. Almost every day, we're faced with new challenges or things to do, and in many situations, they require an element of confidence to achieve and to cope. All this being said, let me clarify something. Confidence is also about actions. If you think you first have to feel confident before you can attempt something different, well, that's not necessarily the case. If you're sitting around and waiting for the feeling of confidence to hit before taking action, don't be surprised if it never shows up. Building your confidence power source often requires a good kickstart. And that entails taking physical actions that are needed to move towards your goal or outcome. So let's say if confidence was an equation, it would sound like this: a little thought plus a little vision plus a compelling belief plus lots of action equals confidence. But I don't think you have to go around feeling confident every minute of the day. That would be so exhausting. Confidence is situational and needs to be summoned upon in certain situations. Don't believe the misconception that confidence is a feeling that should be with you all the time. Thinking this way can actually be a barrier to developing your confidence, as you might think, I'm just not getting it. So how can you increase your confidence? Well, because confidence is more of a dynamic experience than a static trait, it can be a tricky concept to teach. As Jordan Harbinger puts it, the best way to build confidence is to isolate the elements that comprise it, the behaviors, characteristics, and mindsets that create true self-assurance. Then we could put those pieces together in a way that creates true, lasting, and overall confidence. I'll touch on a few elements in today's show with some fun exercises you could practice at home. Let's get started. 1. Nonverbal communication. Confidence is expressed most profoundly through our bodies. No matter how well we speak, the way we feel about ourselves will always manifest in our posture, our gait, our hand movements, and our facial features. These are the nonverbal cues that other people pick up on viscerally and quickly. You're broadcasting a vivid snapshot of your inner confidence the moment you walk into a room. I know it sounds kind of scary, but it's also really cool and fun to know. Entering a room, standing up straight with your shoulders back, chin up, and eyes engaged, others will viscerally perceive you as confident. Enter with your shoulders hunched, brows furrowed, and eyes staring at the floor. You're viscerally perceived as unconfident, and that is if they notice you at all. People make this judgment in microseconds, just as we do of them. That's why body language is such an important part of strong first impressions. Remember, People's impressions are made when they see you, not when they first interact with you. And since you can't control when that happens, you can't just turn your confidence on when you think you need it. You need to practice internalizing and embodying it so it becomes part of your observable presence wherever you go. To do that, I recommend the doorway drill, a simple technique that will force you to check your body language whenever you walk through a door. The exercise is simple. Every time you approach a doorway, even in your home, take a moment to stand up straight. Pull your shoulders back, uncross your arms, and look up and ahead. These are the signals of positive body language, and they both reflect and reinforce confidence. To help form that habit, I often tell students to place post-it notes at eye level in their doorways at home and in the office. Every time they see a post-it, they're reminded to check their body language. After a week or two, the post-its become unnecessary. The visual cue creates a habit that lives in their bodies, and they automatically begin checking their body language whenever they walk through any doorway out in the world. Body language might seem superficial, but it's actually very profound. While confidence informs body language also has a powerful effect on building confidence. If we carry ourselves confidently, we teach our bodies to experience confidence. And the more confident we become, the more we reinforce the behavior to carry ourselves that way in the world. This is one of the beauties of body language work. Addressing the symptoms of confidence can actually influence the causes of it. Most importantly, notice how your nonverbal communication changes the way you feel in social situations, and how it changes the way other people feel about you. You'll be amazed how much of confidence depends on the things we don't say. And then the second thing is vocal tonality. This one should be really good. I love this. After body language, your voice is the most powerful organ of your confidence. Vocal tonality, which includes the quality of your voice, the pitch, articulation, syntax, volume, and intention, expresses and reinforces your innermost sense of self. Vocal tonality is notoriously difficult to teach on a radio show, but I can touch on some key techniques for improving this dimension of confidence so that you can use it to enhance your self-assurance. Speak in statements, not questions. You've probably heard people talk who have the tendency to end sentences with a rising pitch intonation, as if asking a question, also known as upspeak. Well, believe it or not, voice intonation plays a big role in our confidence, both perceived and actual. When we express statements as questions, we're communicating the doubt, uncertainty, and informational disparity implied by a question. Research shows that upspeak can significantly diminish our hire ability, compromise our chances for promotion, and affect the way people perceive our power and authority, which is, it's kind of unfortunate, of course, since many of us adopted out of politeness and a desire to be understood. One of the best ways to smooth out the high pitch rising pitch is to do a simple visualization exercise. Imagine a sentence as a hill, rising from the earth, peaking, and then sloping back down. When we engage in upspeak, we stop at the top of the hill, leaving ourselves and the audience in a statement of uncertainty. As you speak, impose the image of the hill on your sentence and commit to coming back down the other side of the slope. That will help your audience rest at a finish line that communicates confidence and further increase your confidence the more you speak. Very cool. And then on to the next one. Articulate and enunciate. Did you know that the way we treat our words as they form in our mouth is a signal and a function of confidence? To increase our confidence in conversation, practice committing to articulating and enunciating your words more convincingly. You might even have to exaggerate for a while. Sometimes I walk around the house doing that. When you do, you broadcast confidence to the people around you. we also teach our bodies again to become more confident the more we speak. Here's a fun, helpful exercise you could practice. Take a champagne cork, which is larger, thank goodness, than a standard cork, and place it in your mouth. And read a passage from a book with strong, dramatic flair, because you'll be forced to work overtime as the cork resists your efforts. Your mouth will become super articulate. On an emotional level, enunciating strongly will force you to commit to your words, to take them more seriously, which is, of course, a hallmark of confidence. And in the yoga world, speaking is part of what's called Matrika Shakti. It's power. It's the goddess of sound and speech and articulation. So it's powerful in many, many ways. And of course, so, which are some of my filler words, avoid them at all costs. Who hasn't been guilty of them? Well, apparently filler words such as like, and so also play a major role in confidence. And while I don't believe you need to remove them entirely in order to be taken seriously, these little words tend to undermine our authority when they become a crutch. In many cases, we use filler words to patch silences in conversation. And silences actually are okay. We could pause, take a breath, listen. So, yeah, I mean, what do you think about the new project? If we could eliminate those, how much more powerful we will be. And we often do this because we're subconsciously afraid that if we hand the reins over to the person we're speaking with, we'll lose control of the conversation or be responsible for any silent gaps. But as we know, confidence means trusting that our words and our presence are enough to be compelling. It also means trusting that the other person can and should help carry a conversation. When we remove these types of filler words in conversation, we stop bolstering our unconfident speech, and we send a signal to the other person that we trust in their confidence too. Here's a helpful exercise to weed out filler words. Record yourself in conversation. You can use the voice memo app on your phone or any recording device to record a meeting or your side of the conversation if you feel more comfortable with that. Listen to the recording and notice how often filler words creep into your everyday speech. You can record several conversations over a week or two. It's fun. It's interesting. Be curious. Then, taking it a step further, export the files to an audio editor. Audacity is an excellent free app, and edit out all the filler words that pop up. While it might seem a bit obsessive, this is actually one of the greatest ways to analyze your speech. I only noticed my own dependence on filler words after spending hours editing out the ums and sos on my radio show. Once I realized how much of a crutch these words have become, I've been catching myself before I use them, and I find my confidence growing exponentially. Meditation and yoga, of course, two of my loves. Besides the clear benefits for your mental and your physical health, meditation and yoga are also great ways to boost your self-awareness and self-esteem and your confidence. When we lack self-confidence, we are dependent on transitory objects of the outer world and other people's opinions of who we are. The power of self-trust and self-worth is an aspect of yoga and meditation. It helps to rein in our anxieties and our fears, makes us more open to new experiences, and brings us the much coveted self-acceptance we seek to cultivate. It also, of course, quiets our minds and quiets the self-doubts, thus removes our self-inflicted impediments to progress and to improvements. Meditation and yoga are the formulas for regaining self-confidence and harnessing the enormous power of the mind to create your own destiny. So now you have body language, vocal tonality, meditation, and yoga that you could practice and put to work. And of course, on my online course, The Roadmap to Legacy, I'll turn you on to even more profound underpinnings of confidence and how to embody it for a lifetime. Why does confidence matter, you might be wondering? Confidence is an integral part of human psychology. When we have it, we feel engaged, purposeful, inspired. When we don't, when we lack confidence, we feel off course, rudderless, guarded, and even fearful. Consciously or unconsciously, we know how important confidence really is. Confidence gives you an edge to help you approach a task without trepidation. If you have to take a flying leap off a bridge with a bungee cord, being confident would help you approach the task without distracting, anxious thoughts that might just make you stumble. Very few people succeed in business or life for that matter without confidence. Yet everyone, from young people in their first real jobs to seasoned leaders in the upper ranks of organizations, have moments or days, months, or even years when they're unsure of their ability to tackle challenges. No one, my friends, is immune to these bouts of insecurity, but they don't have to hold you back. I know from my own experience that confidence is one of those game-changing qualities, like rapport and courage. It's incredibly valuable and highly elusive. Have you ever been there? As soon as you try to be confident, you instantly fail. As soon as you act more confident, you subtly become a phony pretender. Telling someone to be more confident is like telling someone to be taller. Like me, for instance. That'd be just great, but how? Confident people aren't only willing to practice, they're also willing to acknowledge that they don't and can't know everything. It's better to know when you need help than not, says Gruenfeld. A certain degree of confidence, he goes on, specifically confidence in your ability to learn, is required to be willing to admit that you need guidance or support. Confidence, my friends, goes beyond the fake it till you make it mentality. For it to be felt, it must move towards something authentic, grounded, and more holistic. To get clear on what true confidence really looks like, you'll want to understand how it works, how to cultivate it, and how to rediscover it when it wanes, because you'll certainly want to engage it throughout your life. As Kitty Orenstein says, when you realize your value to others, confidence is no longer about self-promotion. In fact, confidence is no longer the right word. It's about purpose. Instead of agonizing about what others might think of you or your work, concentrate on the unique perspective you bring to them and this world. So in summary for today, confidence may often feel like an elusive aspiration, much like some mysterious phantom kingdom. It's an empowering wonderland we all want to reach, but only you hold the keys to the power source that will get you there. And I can help you chart the roadmap that will point the way. Don't forget the Roadmap to Legacy online course, where we dive deeper into these radio show lessons, begins October 16th. Registration is now open at paulettebodeman.com/breakaway. paulettebodeman.com/breakaway. I really hope to see you there. And until next time, here's to your breakaways and to realizing your confidence. Thank you so much for listening to the Breakaway Academy radio show. I'm Paulette Bodeman. To hear more radio shows and to find out how you could start living your legacy now, be sure to visit www.paulettebodeman.com. Thanks for listening.